You are listening to All Things Sustainable, where we unpack topics related to sustainable living, as well as how to apply specific actions to your own life. I'm your eco-living coach and podcast host, Katie Kirpanik. Let's jump in. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the All Things Sustainable podcast. I am so happy that you're here. We are continuing season 4, which is all about eco-minded parenting and caretaking. I have absolutely loved this season so far. We kicked it off at the very beginning with a hypnotherapist and hypnobirthing coach. So talking about the very beginning of, you know, parenting from birth. And then the last episode, we had Jillian, the founder and CEO of Mamaway. She was with us to talk about tactical tips and tricks for balancing breastfeeding and working, and also traveling. So if you need any like pro pumping tips, if you want to continue breastfeeding, if that's important to you while pursuing your career or traveling or just all the things that require you to, you know, store your breast milk, and you're looking for like a sanity saver and also even like a storage saver, she has all the tips and tricks. So definitely check out that episode if you missed it. Today we are continuing the series with an episode all about non-toxic living. So this episode shares with you the basics of what you need to know if you are going to try to create an environment within your home that is as toxin-free and safe and eco-friendly as possible. But of course, we need to remember that we are not currently living in a society or a system, especially within, you know, modern Western society, that allows us to do this. There are a lot of things that are unfortunately not regulated, and there are a lot of toxins around us all the time. So I am actually fairly new to learning about this topic, and so I was really curious to learn from the expert that I brought in for today's episode. So I hope that you enjoy learning alongside with me from the expert Lonnie Brown. Lonnie is a healthy home expert. She's the founder and CEO of Entirely Eco and Wholesome Nest. And she talks about these two separate businesses in the episode. But basically, she helps parents to design and create beautiful, eco-friendly, toxin-free homes for their families. And she has a certified organic eco home online shop. Lonnie is also a certified interior decorator, and she has studied building biology. She has helped over 1,000 people reduce their toxin exposures so that they can live more comfortably and healthy at home. If you're totally new to this like I am, don't worry. Lonnie explains like in depth what, you know, non-toxic even means at the beginning of the episode. She talks about the difference between sustainable living or just like natural eco-friendly living and then non-toxic living, because there is a distinct difference. She shares more of her own personal story and how she got into all of this. And then as the episode goes on, she gives you very specific, helpful tips and resources for applying this into your own life. She talks about how to change the right things, not all the things, because we cannot possibly control all the things, but she helps you to identify what are the right things that you should be focusing on. And then at the very end of the episode is really where she gives so many of the most like useful tips that you can apply directly to your life. A lot of them are even free to begin with. So definitely listen to the end for all of that. Be sure to check out the episode description for all the many helpful resources that we share within this episode. You can find all of that in that description. And without further ado, let's dive right into today's episode with Lonnie Brown. Lonnie, welcome to the All Things Sustainable podcast. I am super excited to have you on the show today and just getting to know your realm of expertise about non-toxic living. I'm really excited to get into that, but thank you for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to chat with you today.
Wonderful. So I told my listeners a little bit about you in the introduction to the episode, but I would love if they could just hear from you in your own words. Tell us a little bit about yourself. You know, who you are and what you're passionate about, and who are some of the beloved people in your life?
Okay. So my name's Lonnie Brown. I am based right outside Denver in Colorado. We've been here for about 5 years. And before that, I was in California for 30 years. I have two littles, two girls. One is 6 and the other, she just turned 6 like a couple weeks ago. And then the other one is 2. And then I have a stepson as well, he'll be 17.
Oh my goodness.
In a couple months. So, So I definitely have my hands full, but I'm just really passionate about supporting moms and supporting families and helping them live healthier lives and reducing toxins at home. So it's been something that's been almost a lifelong journey for myself. And so it's so happy that I just actually get to help other people on this journey as well, because it's very overwhelming as a mom in general. And then when you're trying to, you know, provide a healthy home for your family and reduce toxins, it's even more overwhelming. So.
Exactly. I'm so happy you said that, because that is like the exact reason why I decided to dive into this podcast series, because the whole series for season 4 is about, you know, eco-minded parenting or caretaking. And it all is so overwhelming, or I think for most people it is. Like, being a parent or a caretaker in general, you have so much on your plate all the time and so much demanded of you. And then when you're also trying to align your family's life with your personal values, you know, your ethics and wanting to take care of the planet, how to do that, the step-by-step process can be so overwhelming. So in this season, we are having a variety of guest speakers on the show. A lot of them have been talking about, you know, different topics related to sustainability. You and I were actually connected through Jillian with Mamaway, and she's on the show. And so I'm so happy she connected us, because you have a really unique perspective here. Your focus is all about non-toxic living. And I'll be the first to admit that that is one area of living sustainably and, you know, like being all natural and eco-friendly that I do not know a lot about. And growing up, I didn't have any like awareness of this or the language or the tools or anything. And so becoming a parent myself in the past couple of years, I'm just now starting to pay attention to that, and I'm learning all the time. And I'm sure there are a bunch of things in my home that are still very toxic, and I'm just slowly trying to like learn and adjust and do better, which is basically just how life goes. So I'm excited to talk to you. I would love if you could just define right off the bat for all of us newbies who are listening in, what makes something toxic versus non-toxic in the home? And then why is that even so important?
Mm-hmm. Okay. So when we look at toxins, how I describe it and how a lot of people in the like, you know, non-toxic living environment describes it is toxins basically harm the body in some way, harm the body, harm the planet, right? And even if it's just like the trees and the plant life and the oceans and the, you know, the sea life, and then of course humans, right? So when something's toxic, it actually can harm living, you know, living things and living organisms. When it's non-toxic, it could still be chemicals, right? It could still be, you know, doesn't necessarily have to be natural. If something's toxic, then, it's harming the body. If it's non-toxic, it's not harming the body or not harming plant life. In the US, though, here's the like kind of caveat to this, which kind of infuriates me. But in the United States, the definition of non-toxic versus toxic, like in terms of if you're like labeling things, it's like 49%, meaning that this substance or this chemical or this ingredient or this thing, doesn't kill or harm, you know, less than 49%, right? So
oh my gosh.
It's like, you know, so if it's 49% like killing, then it's can be considered non-toxic. If it's like 50% or more, it's all of a sudden considered toxic, which I'm like, come on.
Oh my gosh.
So that like technical definition, I don't really live by. I think if anything is harming living organisms or things in general, I consider that to be toxic, okay, regardless of what the technical, you know, definition is. Mm-hmm. And so there is a lot of people will say, well, what is all the difference between eco-friendly, sustainable, natural, non-toxic, toxin-free, right? What are all the differences? And I mean, at the highest level, most things that are eco-friendly and sustainable are also probably considered non-toxic, you know, toxin-free, but not always. So there are these like slight nuances with all of these different terms. I mean, natural just means not synthetic, right?
Right.
And there are natural things that are highly toxic, like arsenic, for example, right? Like that's a natural thing. And so just because it's natural doesn't necessarily mean it's non-toxic, right? Because that's a perfect example. Mm-hmm. And then there are synthetic things that are benign and are not toxic to the human body, right? Mm-hmm. And that would not be considered natural, but it would be considered toxin-free. And then sustainable just means like, you know, this is your whole world, right? Good for the planet, you know, doesn't go into like, you know, waste and landfills. Typically, most sustainable things are non-toxic, but not all of them, right? Like there's a lot of products that are like made out of like recycled plastic bottles, which is very sustainable because these plastic bottles aren't going into a landfill. They're being repurposed and reused in other ways. But like there are chemicals in plastic. And so if you make baby toys out of plastic recycled bottles, that's probably great for the environment, but it's probably not the safest toy for your baby to be chewing on, you know, at all times.
Interesting.
So that's an example. That's an example of something that yes, is probably considered very sustainable, but maybe not toxin free because chemicals from plastic do leach into things. So,
okay. That is a super helpful definition. I know, when you even clarified right up front that like, if something is non-toxic, that doesn't necessarily mean it's chemical free because like our entire world is made up of different kinds of chemicals. And I remember when I very first started even being exposed to language like toxic versus non-toxic, I had that mistake in my head. Like I thought that meant something needed to be chemical free. And there's a lot to clear up here. And unfortunately, where we're living in the United States is definitely not. It's not a friendly place to live if you're looking for non-toxic and sustainable living. The whole infrastructure is not set up that way, but also even from the little bit of research that I've done, there's so much that is allowed to be in the United States that is not even allowed in other countries. Like just thinking about makeup and skincare, for example, there are so many chemicals that I know of and ingredients that are considered toxic and banned in countries mm-hmm. within Europe. And yet it's like a free for all here. So, okay. So we have a lot to dive into. First, let's back up a little bit. Cause I want to give even more of a foundation for my audience about, you know, who you are. So you are now a certified interior decorator. This is, you know, not what you've always done. This is like a second career to my understanding. And you're specializing in non-toxic homes and empowering families. And you've done that by building two businesses. So you have Wholesome Nest, which is focused on the baby's nursery and, you know, creating a safe, non-toxic place for your baby. And then Entirely Eco. And that's like an online boutique that is basically for any family wanting to decorate their home in a way that is non-toxic as well. So And you're on the path to becoming a building biologist. So I'm like fascinated by your entire journey and all that you do. And I would love if you could share a little bit about your origin story and what has brought you here to this point.
Thank you. I would love to. So let's see. So I'm going to go way back and then I'm going to quickly come back to more presently. So about 25 years ago, I was like right around like beginning of college. I was suffering from lots of hormonal issues and also acne. I had really bad acne and like all teenagers do, but I was like, you know, getting into college and I'm like, I'm kind of like an adult now. Why do I have this like persistent, like teenage acne? And so back then I learned of all of the different ingredients in things that I was consuming that was contributing to my hormonal imbalances and my acne and other things, low energy, all the things. And a lot of it had to do with the types of foods that I was eating. Cause I didn't grow up like eating great food. I mean, we grew up on canned food and, you know, process, preservatives, like all the things, right? And so I learned that, you know, I had doctors that were trying to prescribe, like, you know, pharmaceuticals to like work on my acne. The thing is that that wasn't like treating the like root of the acne. It was just helping to kind of mask what was already there. And I'm really sensitive to just like caffeine and medicine and just different things like that. So the idea that I would like solve my hormonal things and my acne with like just pharmaceutical drugs forever just like wasn't exciting to me. So I started to do a bunch of research on just like, how can I do this a better way? And that's when I discovered what we eat really impacts, like what we ingest, drink, eat, put in our mouth and swallow, right? Even supplements and things that can really impact our hormones and our energy levels and acne and all these other things. And so I completely started to become really conscious about ingredients and reading labels and all of that. And then naturally I shifted and became really aware and conscious about what I was rubbing on my skin, because I'm like, if what you put in your mouth is, you know, really important and can have a big impact, what you rub on your skin is also probably important, because our skin is our largest organ and it's made up of tiny little pores, and these pores are like mouths. So like if I'm being really conscious of what's going in my mouth, I should also be really conscious about what's going on my skin. So then I started diving into like all of my personal care products, like my shampoo, my lotion, my makeup, everything, and realizing all the crazy ingredients and bad ingredients in there that can also cause a lot of issues. And so that's really where I started my journey, is just looking at those two areas. And I lived there for 25 years and I didn't look at anything else. Like that's, you know, I knew about all the ingredients and personal care products and food products. It wasn't until I was pregnant with my first daughter about a little over 7 years ago that this whole other area like was opened up to me. And that was our home, like our actual home decor, our home products. There's no like nutritional labels for a lot of these things, for like your flooring and your furniture and your mattresses and your pillows and your cookware and things like that. And so as I was building my baby registry, I like just Googled, you know, I Googled something like healthy mattress and like, you know, just something like, I don't know. I just was like a healthy mattress for baby. You're building a registry and the mattress is kind of important, you know? And I came across this article that was like organic mattress versus non-organic mattress. And I was like, what's an organic mattress? I was used to organic food and like organic skincare, but I'm like, what's an organic mattress? Like, this just seems like, is this just like marketing hype? Like, what is this? And so then I read the article and then I was like, oh my goodness. Like they're like, how are these chemicals in these baby crib mattresses even legal? Like, I mean, they spray them with flame retardants. I mean, they're made with like petrochemical foam that your poor little baby is like sleeping on for like 15 hours a day. Like, it's just like, how is this legal? So, and so once I realized how toxic mattresses were, I was like, I just became a crazy obsessed person and was like, what are all the like sheets, pillows, like literally everything in the home, furniture. And that's what kind of opened me up to this world. I literally did hundreds of hours of research. I was like sobbing, crying, like building my baby registry, just like, because there was no, like I said, there's no regulation like with home decor and home products. Like it really, it's not like it is with food, and even food, it's like not even that great of regulation, but there's some regulation, right? Like you cannot label things organic, you know, as a food product without the USDA like certifying you and it meeting certain qualifications. But with like a pillow, you can label it organic, you can label it toxin free, you can label it, you know, as long as it doesn't kill more than 50% of people, like you could label it whatever you want, right? And so anyway, I went through this whole journey of, I was determined to build a healthy environment for my little baby. And so then everyone around me, like if you knew me, you knew of my obsession and you knew all the things I was doing. And so sure enough, friends started coming to me and they were like, hey, what did you learn? Share with me all the things. I clearly don't have time to do all the hours of research you did. Can you just show me what you got and tell me what is good and what you found out wasn't good? And so I helped all my friends and family, and then they started sending their friends to me and I started getting text messages like, hey, so-and-so referred me to you. Is this a better baby sunscreen or is this a baby better, you know, like what do I need to avoid in this? And so it just became this natural evolution. And finally, my husband was like, look, I think this is a business. He was like, I think that like, you know, you're solving this problem that like moms want to have safe products for their babies and want to have a healthier home. And they don't know all the things that you've learned. And even if they do, they don't have the time or, you know, sanity to like do all this research. And so that's how both my businesses were born. I was like, I really want to just have a place where, I mean, I knew it wouldn't be sustainable for people to just text me all the questions. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I would love to just build a community and build a site where I can do all the research. And as I do the research, I can just, you know, feature those products, feature those brands. So people know that it's like been thoroughly vetted and approved. And so that's how I started. And then surprisingly with Entirely Eco, a lot of men shop in the store and come to the site and, you know, get the information. And I have this passion because babies are so much more susceptible to chemicals than adults. Yeah. I mean, adults are too, but babies are even more. And so I really wanted to focus on babies primarily, and moms while they're pregnant. But because I had so many men that came to Entirely Eco, I didn't want to just start flooding that brand with all the baby and pregnancy stuff because I didn't want them to be like, I'm in the wrong place. I need to get out of here. So that's why we formed Wholesome Nest so that we can just go full steam into pregnancy and baby related, you know, items. So the mission of the both brands are the same, but it's just the different audiences. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's so great too, because this is so beneficial for everybody, like not just people with kids. And so that's huge. I'm so glad that you've built two platforms that are supporting and empowering people to live this way. So you grew up in California, and I have lived back and forth between California and Colorado a couple times throughout my life. And I remember the last time around that I was in California, my family and I started noticing the little like stickers on windows at like fast food restaurants, for example, that would say something like, you know, this restaurant has food or ingredients or something like that, that is, you know, known to contain chemicals related to cancer, something like that. And I remember at that time of my life, it was something that my family and I just saw. And we kind of like even joked about it, like, oh, everything causes cancer nowadays. Like it's, you know, stickers on the fast food restaurant windows. Like it was funny, but I think it was more because we didn't know what to do with that information. Like, we could only laugh it off because it was like better than considering the alternative, which is, wow, everything that we're consuming seems to cause cancer these days. And this is actually really scary. So it was easier to laugh it off. But I bring up that story because I think about that as a parent now, it's much harder to laugh off those things. Like if I know that the chemicals that have been sprayed onto my baby's car seat or mattress or whatever it is, you know, the flame retardant stuff. If I know that those chemicals have been linked to like severe increase in possibly getting cancer later in life, and your website said something like, by the time a baby is 2 years old, they are already, what was this? It was something like 50%. Yeah, so
they've developed 50% of their lifetime cancer risk by the age of two, I know.
And it's to me,
it's mind blowing. It's heartbreaking because of course I have parents that come to me and their kid is like five and they're like, so it's too late, you know, like, right. And so it can be both shocking and then also like really stressful because if you didn't start this, you know, early enough. But I always tell people that there's this doctor, I think her name is Dr. Judith Stern. It's one of my favorite quotes. And I tell this to a lot of people to just make them feel reassured. So crazy thing is 10% of cancers are genetic, 90% are environmental. So that's like, ugh. Wow. The thing is that your genetics load, she says that your genetics loads the gun, your environment pulls the trigger. So even if you were dealt bad genes or whatever, you can still improve your environment and prevent like cancer actually like happening in the body, because it's all at the cellular level. And the more that you reduce your overall toxic load, the better chance you have and the less risk you have. And so even if you didn't get to start off and your baby didn't get to start off with like a perfectly non-toxic environment, there's still so many things that you can do in life over time. These small changes compound exponentially. So it's not about living in a completely non-toxic home. I think it's virtually impossible unless you like build your home from scratch by yourself and you know every single building material that went in there and you're literally, you know, that obsessed. It's impossible to be completely toxin-free or chemical-free. So the important thing is to focus on the areas that you can control and focus on the areas that make the biggest difference. So like when I tell, you know, my clients, I'm like, no one can swap out everything in their home. That's just like unrealistic. Even if you're like a millionaire, right? Like you still can't do that. But, you know, sleeping on an organic mattress is going to be way more beneficial than getting organic curtains for the window, right? Yes. Like you're not sleeping on those. You're not like wearing those. It's not constantly rubbing on you. You're not breathing it in every single day, like closely, right? So it's not about, you know, making everything toxin-free. It's about making the right things toxin-free. And just every time you have to buy something new, you don't have to like throw stuff out, but just the next time you need to buy something new, just do a little bit healthier of a swap. And there's so many free and affordable and cheap things now that are like, won't break the bank, that you can do that are infinitely more, less toxic than the conventional things out there.
Mm-hmm. And so focusing on the right things, like you were saying, if that's the starting point, then that would probably be whatever we ingest and then what touches our skin, right? Because like you said, skin is, you know, basically a bunch of tiny little mouths are what the pores are. So if we're focusing on what's touching our skin and what is going into our body, then that's a good place to start.
Yes, that's the perfect place to start. And then the next area is your air, your indoor air, what you're constantly breathing in, you know, every day. And that's also going to be really beneficial for the littles, like for the babies too, because they breathe in like on a pound for pound basis from adults, babies breathe in a lot more air than adults. And so that indoor air quality, especially just in the whatever room the baby is sleeping in, is going to be the most important.
Okay. Those are all really good things to do. I'm like tucking away information for myself. I'm like, I'm sure that those who are listening are going to be getting so much from this episode, but if anything, I'm learning a lot for my own family because my son at the time of this recording is 2.5. So I'm already like, well, we just kind of have gotten over that window and of his, you know, lifetime exposure to chemicals and toxins that could potentially be cancer causing later in his life. So, but it's what you're saying is exactly what I tell my clients as well. And anyone listening to this podcast all the time, that like, when you're looking to live sustainably, first of all, that has to be sustainable for you. That has to be sustainable as in like maintained long-term, because if it's not, you're just going to be burnt out and frustrated, and then you're going to give up, most likely. And it also has to be sustainable financially. So there's all the things to consider. So really, you can only do whatever is available to you right now. But then that means this is like the push that I continue to give people. You don't just stop right there. Like our goal, if we're going to live sustainably, is to be lifelong learners. Like, and the more that we know, then the better we're going to do. So continuing to take one step after another. And like you said, when something in your home is ready to be swapped out, then do the research and figure out like what item should replace the one that I had. What's going to be like the best item for my family here?
Hey parents, are you ready to discover a gentle and non-coercive approach to addressing your baby's natural hygiene needs? Introducing Go Diaper Free and the World of Elimination Communication, basically early potty training. Did you know that like all mammals, human babies instinctively resist soiling themselves and their sleep space? From birth, they actually communicate their needs clearly. With elimination communication, we learn to recognize their signals and natural rhythms and assist them in this process until they naturally gain independence, usually between 9 to 18 months of age. Imagine tapping into your baby's natural instincts and understanding their cues for elimination. It's like going back to a time when diapers weren't the norm. In regions where diapers are not commercially available, humans have relied on this age-old practice. If you've ever cared for a baby who just won't stop crying, you've likely tried everything, feeding, holding, rocking, singing, only to discover that their diaper was wet or soiled. What if you had known what that cry meant from the beginning? You could have offered them the potty, and 9 times out of 10, they would have been crying for you to help them avoid soiling themselves or their surroundings. With elimination communication, or EC, we tune into our baby's innate desires and work together to help them use the toilet while they develop motor skills and long-term memory. Eventually, we guide them to become independent in this natural transition to toilet use. EC works because it aligns with how nature created us. Babies are incredibly instinctive, and as parents, when we zoom out, we realize they are trying to communicate their needs beyond eating, sleeping, and staying warm. Pottying your baby can revolutionize your parenting experience, making it cleaner, easier, and more connected. Plus, it's a way more eco-friendly choice. I personally started EC with my son when he was 15 months old, and he was fully potty trained by 2 years old. Not having to deal with poopy diapers has been a game changer for me, and he has really thrived with this level of independence and communication between us. Go Diaper Free provides a range of valuable tools, including books, trainings, podcasts, guides, and more. I am a happy mama of a potty trained toddler and a proud affiliate for Go Diaper Free. So if you use the link provided in the show notes, you will actually be supporting 2 mama-owned businesses, including my own, at no extra cost to you. Discover the joy of elimination communication with Go Diaper Free and experience a closer bond with your baby while embracing a more natural approach to their hygiene needs. Click the link in the episode description to grab your resources today. Now back to our show.
So on your 2 websites, Wholesome Nest and Entirely Eco, you have a lot of supports for people. And on the Wholesome Nest website, you have a non-toxic nursery guide in 5 simple steps that's available for people. And I downloaded it and thought it was super, super helpful. And then you also have, through Entirely Eco and Wholesome Nest, you have interior design services for families who are, you know, looking to build the safest, most non-toxic environment possible. So what does that look like? If you were to give like a snapshot of what working with you looks like, what does that entail?
Yeah. So the funny thing is, and the reason why you could probably see from my background, you know, not on audio, but people see the video, aesthetics really matter to me. I, like, my entire life, I've been really into just how things look and feel. And so, similar to my journey and a lot of my clients, whenever people think of living eco-friendly and living toxin-free, they also think that like everything is going to be like beige and like natural color, and they're going to have to like lose all design style. And it's just not true. Like, you can still have a beautiful, beautifully designed home that like fits your personality and fits your style, and still be able to choose, you know, healthier products, you know, even within those constraints. And so really what I do kind of blends, you know, like I help people design, because when you're building a baby nursery, yeah, you want it to be safe, but you also want it to be cute. And, you know, you want, like, it's like we're moms, like we want to like post it and be like, look at the cute baby nursery, right? It's why, like, you know, Pinterest is such a thing, right? Because people love the aesthetics of things. So I really like to help people do both. You know, I don't feel like you should have to sacrifice the look and feel and style of your home. This is where you live. You want to feel happy in it, and you want it to be comfortable. So it's a little bit of everything. We do decluttering, we do detoxing, we do designing. Because I just want to just make it all easier for people. I don't want them to have to, like, you know, oh, I got to like work with a designer who's going to help me make it pretty. And like this toxins expert, that's going to help me like reduce the toxins. And this, you know, other person who's going to help me like declutter, you know, like it's, that's just a lot. Right. Yeah. So I'm like, if I could just, you know, and I've done it for myself, but I'm like, I need to be like really credentialed and really, you know, thorough. And if I'm going to be helping people do this at a professional level. So that's why I decided to get all the certifications. And the building biology is just really fascinating. I mean, it looks at buildings as like almost like living, like living things. And really, you know, looking at your home environment and actual physical dwelling building, the same way that you would look at, you know, other areas of your life, you know, that to support your health. So the study of that has just been fascinating. It's really how I've learned a lot about just chemicals and materials and which ones are safe, you know, to the body and which ones, you know, cause harm. Because, you know, like you can't, some people just avoid all chemicals and then you'll be safe, but that's not true, right? Like you can't, and it's very impossible. Like you said, it has to be sustainable. It has to be practical. Like you have to be able to do it. And so having people just remove all chemicals is just not, it's just not realistic or practical. And so at least with building biology, you learn about which things, synthetic things and chemicals are okay for the body. Don't cause cancer, don't cause, you know, autoimmune disorders, hormone disruptors, like that don't cause those things that can still, you know, be used in the home. So that's why, you know, I've been really interested in the building biology. I think it's, you know, I want to help people at all levels. So if people just want to DIY it, they can follow me on social media, follow all my free content, free guides. I give lots of resources, you know, lots of like help on what ingredients to choose, what to avoid, so they can kind of DIY it. But then there's a lot of people that are just like, yeah, I don't want to DIY it. So that's why we have those services that you saw, because it just allows us to just do it for them and just really make the process easier and smoother.
That's amazing. You're really making this accessible to people, which gets me so excited because this information should be so accessible to people. So what does like a, you know, consultation with you look like, or what would people's first steps be?
Usually, you know, they download the guide and they, you know, consume some of my free content. And if that like connects with you and seems like something that you're interested in, then I offer free consults. So on my website, there's a link to my Calendly and people can just, you know, reach out and do a consult. People also just DM me and just wanting to learn more too. So, you know, we can, if you don't want to jump on a Zoom call, we can, you know, we can work in via email or DMs, but really it just comes to their goals. Everything is pretty much customized, for, you know, for the person. And so a lot of people, when they come to me, they want to like just focus on the baby stuff, especially if they're pregnant or they have a young baby that's like very urgent and top of mind. So we might start there if that's their situation. Other times, like if it's like men that I work with, and I was so fascinated to see that men care about these things too. They might want to tackle their bedroom because they, you know, they read too how toxic mattresses are. And so they want to just get some advice on some swaps. So I do everything from just like quick product, you know, product recommendations customized to you and your goals, to like full blown, like we're going to redesign and build the whole, you know, room from scratch and, you know, wow, do the layout and give you all the product selections that you want to choose from that's within your budget. So it could be as little as just a few, you know, product recommendations all the way up to like a full blown design. And then I'm launching something brand new, which I am so, so excited about, which is an online membership community, because what I learned was that people were like, hey, you have free stuff, and then you have like work with you one-on-one, and there's kind of nothing in between. So I have, you know, I have my free Facebook group, which is, I actually took over this Facebook group from an environmental engineer. Her name is Emma, and it's called the Green Product Forum. There's like over 5,000 people in this Facebook group. I had my own smaller Facebook group before, and I'm actually winding that one down and kind of combining them into this new one. So Green Product Forum is great for quick questions. Like, you can post in the group if you have just product questions or want to know about ingredients. I tend to respond. And then there's a lot of people in the community that also are really experienced that also respond. So that's kind of the free things. But people said, you know, hey, you have your free things and you have your one-on-one services, but there's really nothing in between. And I was like, yeah, that's actually right. And so I have this lower ticket membership, and it's only $150 for an entire year, wow, which is only like 12, like a little over 12 bucks a month, which is like, come on, 40 cents a day. Like, this is very, very, you know, inexpensive. And this actually takes people on a 12-month journey to reduce toxins and declutter their homes. We tackle a new area every single month. You get an action guide, a quick, easy action guide for that area of the home for that month. And it's going to give, and it gives you free things that you can do to reduce toxins. And then also, if you want to spend a little money in that area, what, you know, where it's worth your budget. And so it's literally just this membership that you can come through, and it kind of walks you through exactly what I do with my one-on-one clients. But in a, you know, it's not fully customized to your home. So you're going to have to like work within it, but it's really a nice way for me to like work with you more directly than just like the free, you know, stuff that I do, which has not a lot of structure, right? You can just sift through things. And so I'm really excited about that. And the really cool part about it is I do live calls. So you can come in and get your live questions answered. And it's a little more of that kind of like similar to what I would do in a one-on-one consulting relationship, but in a group setting. So I'm really excited about this because I think it's just going to be a really affordable way for people to kind of have their hand held while, you know, not having to spend, you know, on the one-on-one services for me.
That's so amazing. I'm excited. And when is that one launching?
I'm actually launching it on Tuesday. By the time this airs, we'll be launched. And it's thrivingmamas.com. I know, yet another website. But thrivingmamas.com. And we're doing a founding member beta launch, which is the $150 for the year. And then if you join, you get locked in at that price for life. So you can continue, you know, to renew each year and get support. And we have product guides, like where we've, you know, each category of products, we list all the safest ones in those categories. We stay up to date on all the baby product recalls and things like that. So it's a really good way to just not have to like spend your own time doing lots of research. The price will go up later this fall to $199 a year. So, you know, all through the summer and, you know, the beginning of fall, it'll be this founding member beta kind of launch. So I'm really excited about it because I think I'll be able to support people at a deeper level than the people that have just consumed my free content. But you know, there's a lot of people that couldn't really afford maybe the one-on-one services. And so this is a nice in-between for them to get a lot of direct support from me, in this kind of container.
Mm-hmm. That is so huge. Yeah. So that will be up and running by the time this episode is out. And I mean, even when the price goes up to $199 per year, that is still so reasonable. So that's amazing. I will have like all of this plus any other contact info and important things that you might want to share with the audience in the show notes. So if listeners click on the episode description, they can find all of this listed there. And then the other thing to keep in mind too, is that this fall, Lonnie is going to be joining the community partnership that I've created with That Minimal Life. Anybody who is a client through That Minimal Life or a patron of this podcast, so that link is also in the show notes, but patreon.com/allthingssustainable, you get access to an exclusive discount bundle that goes out every 3 months. It's updated, new partners are consistently added, and you right now there's currently 23 partners and growing. So Lonnie will be added to that in the fall when the next round goes out, and you could get, you know, even more discounts to all of the wonderful things that Lonnie has to offer. So I'm very excited about that and talking with you, Lonnie. I think to bring this conversation in for a landing, I would love if you could just share with our listeners 1 to 3 actionable steps. It could either, you know, re-emphasize something you already shared or completely brand new information. But what are 1 to 3 steps that listeners could take, like as soon as today, to empower themselves to tackle the toxins within their life and likely within their homes, and to just feel like they can really take this on?
Okay, great. I love this so much. Okay. So because when you start to go on this journey, it can become really overwhelming, like in my situation, crying and sobbing and building a baby registry. I know how intimidating and overwhelming this can be. And so I have everyone start with free, easy things. And so my first actionable thing for you is going to be the quick, easy things that you can literally do right now today. There's 3 things. First thing is don't wear your shoes in the home. Like if you do nothing else, if you want to just remove the toxins in your home and you do nothing else, don't wear shoes. A lot of the toxins that are in our home get trapped in from the bottom of our shoes. And when you have babies, that's even more challenging because they're crawling all over the floor with their hands and putting their hands in their mouth. When we walk outside, there are heavy metals, chemicals, like, you know, pesticides, all those things, right? And then you wear your shoes around the house. And especially if you have carpet, and even if you have like hardwood floors, it just falls off your shoe onto your, you know, flooring and carpet and everything else. And then the thing is when you have dust, those toxins get kicked up into the dust and then you actually inhale them. Mm-hmm. So it's like, there's an issue with inhaling these things. And then also babies, you know, crawling around and putting their hands in their mouth. So that one step alone can help reduce your toxin exposure at home, and it's free. And you just don't wear shoes in the house. And I know that for some people, this is hard to get used to, like having to remember to take off your shoes. But I promise if you just be conscious about it and start to do it, then it just becomes like, it's weird for me to wear shoes in anyone's home now. Like it's feels so weird. Yeah. And so the reverse will happen. It'll start to feel weird not wearing shoes in your home if you're really used to, and then it'll start to feel common. And then when you have people over, like sometimes people are like, they don't want to take off their shoes. You might have contractors coming in. So I have these little washable shoe cover footies. And so when someone comes to the door and, you know, they're a contractor, they need to come and check something or whatever, or they're doing a delivery or something, I just have them put on these, you know, shoe covers, and then they can come in and the toxins, you know, don't get everywhere else in the house. So there's just little things like that. Okay. The next free, easy thing, open the windows, open the windows, like at least if you can 15 minutes a day, open up the windows. If you have some fans, even better, turn on the fans, open your windows. Our homes are so energy efficient now, which is a great thing, right? It's a great thing that they're so energy efficient. The thing is like toxins in the home and poor indoor air quality has nowhere to go. And back in the day, our homes were leaky. They weren't energy efficient. They were leaky. So that bad air had like places to escape. Now they don't, because everything is just so tightly confined. So opening your windows kind of cycles out some of that bad air and lets in some of that fresh air. So doing that on a regular basis really helps. And then vacuuming and dusting. Vacuuming and dusting, again, toxins are in the dust. Toxins are on the floor, especially if they got tracked in with your shoes. So if you vacuum and dust regularly, that's going to minimize toxins. So just doing these things alone, not even swapping anything out, right? Yeah. That's going to really reduce your toxin exposure on a day-to-day basis. So those are some easy, free, quick things you can do today. Then, beyond that, invest in something to purify the air. So it can be an air purifier, and you want to find one with like a HEPA filter or one that is certified to actually remove VOCs from within the home. These are volatile organic compounds. VOCs come from things like paint, stains and finishes, furniture, your cushions, things like that, right? All these things release, they off gas some of those chemicals and their VOCs, and we're inhaling them, and it's why our indoor air is so bad. Like the EPA says that our indoor air is 2 to 4 times more polluted than outside air. And it's crazy because there's like a lot of chemicals and stuff outside. The thing is that outside breathes outside has trees, outside, you know, things are getting filtered, right? In our homes, if we don't have anything in there actually purifying the air, everything just stays. So opening the windows and vacuuming helps, but if you can invest in an air purifier that is, you know, can remove those VOCs and toxins in the air, that's even better. If you can't afford an air purifier, and some of them are only like a couple hundred dollars. So it's a really good investment if you can. If you can't invest in air purifier, then NASA has this list of the top like 20 indoor air purifying plants. And you can buy these plants and they give all the varieties. So you can just research all the varieties and see which ones thrive in your kind of climate. But they are determined by NASA to be the best at purifying the air. And so I, you know, have our clients buy an air purifying plant and place it every 300 square feet. So if you have, you know, so if you have a 2000 square foot home, you want to buy enough to kind of cover, you know, all the areas. And then those plants are going to like around the clock purify the air. So something to purify the air. So do the free things first. And then step two, find something to purify the air. And then the third step would be minimize your use of plastic. That's a big one. Plastic leaches, you know, there's chemicals in plastic that leach into products. BPA, right, is a known carcinogen, meaning it causes cancer. It's found in all kinds of plastics. BPA is a chemical that basically helps plastic maintain its structure. It makes it more stable. It makes it clear, you know, or, you know, and so a lot of products have BPA. Now that it's known that BPA is cancerous, a lot of companies who manufacture plastic products are removing BPA, BPS. But here's the thing, like when I, so you can find a lot of BPA plastic and people are like, oh, it's BPA plastic. It's great. The thing is that like they had to swap that BPA out with another chemical because I call, you know, I call companies and I'm like, hey, your product doesn't have BPA. What did you use instead? And they're like, what do you mean? I'm like, BPA had a purpose, right? It's what made the, you know, plastic stable and shatterproof and clear. And so there was a purpose for it. So what are you using instead? And that's the thing, like once something is known to be bad, companies just swap it out with something else. And whatever they swapped it out with, it's not known to be harmful right now, but in 20 years, it probably will. Once there's research, and like you said earlier, in Europe, the burden of proof is on the manufacturers. So they have a lot of banned chemicals. And if you're introducing a new kind of chemical, a lot of times the European Union is going to be like, yeah, you need to prove to us that this is safe, right? Like the burden is on the manufacturers to kind of prove that things are safe. In the US, not so much, right? Like you can just make chemicals. I mean, there are literally 80,000 chemicals, you know, being produced every single day and new ones coming, and you can just freely use them. In the United States, it's not until a chemical has been determined by studies and years of research that it then becomes banned, but it's 20 years too late at that point. So I always say, just try to avoid plastic in general, because plastic is loaded with chemicals and we don't know yet which ones are harmful to the body and which ones aren't. And so if you want to be safe, or the safest, just minimize it. I'm not saying give away all plastic and stop using all plastic, but where it counts, like in your food containers, you know, and you're storing your food and it's sitting in those plastic containers or your water bottles, right? Use stainless steel, use glass. And a lot of people are like, well, I can't swap out all my Tupperware for glass. Here's the thing. There's a spaghetti jar. There's the pickle jar that you're probably just going to throw away anyway. Mm-hmm. So wash that spaghetti jar, wash that pickle jar, and that becomes your leftover container instead of the plastic Gladware, you know, or Tupperware. So just find these easy ways to just reduce your use of plastic because that's going to, you know, really, really help on a daily basis. And then from there, you know, there's more advanced things that you can start looking at. Like I said, your mattress, your pillows, like things like that, that you're sleeping on for lots of hours a day, but those are more expensive things to replace. So I would start with these three, you know, easy areas first, and then kind of build from there.
Yeah. That, and then, you know, when people are ready for that, that is where your services and all of the resources that you support are so helpful, because even speaking for just myself, I know that this information gets so overwhelming. And I'm somebody who is like specializing in sustainable living. So if I weren't doing that, I think it would be even more overwhelming. So your tips and tricks are super, super helpful. I really appreciate how much you focused on, you know, what is free, what is available right now within people's homes. And then I think the thing that just kept ringing through my head as I was listening to you is, we kind of talked about this earlier, but it's just so important to do something. You know, one of my favorite quotes is, don't do nothing because you can't do everything. Do something, anything. And that's by Colleen Patrick Gaudreau. She's an amazing activist. And as, you know, someone striving to live sustainably, I remind myself of that daily, because if you start looking into, you know, like everything that causes climate anxiety, you know, eco anxiety, the world is burning, like all these things, we could go down the deep, dark rabbit hole and feel so overwhelmed. If I feel like I can't change everything about my life and everything about the world and the way other people are living, then I can get stuck in that sense of paralysis. Like, I just can't do anything. So same with this situation, with non-toxic living, just do something, do anything. Like, doing something will be better than nothing at all. And like you said, it compounds, you know, it builds off of each other step by step. And it's way better than just giving up and throwing in the towel completely. So I'm very appreciative of you and your time and your expertise. Thank you so much for sharing all this with our listeners. And if they want to get in touch with you, again, all that information will just be in the episode description.
Thank you so much for having me.
I hope you enjoyed today's episode. And if you did, I would love it if you would share it with a friend, spread the word over your social media, or simply leave a review wherever you subscribe to this podcast to help others find it as well. Thank you so much for being here. I'll catch you next time.